This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. As we continue our coverage of the People's Summit that took place last weekend in Chicago, Illinois, we turn next to Lorenzo Serna. He's a member of Unicorn Riot, a media collective that may have a lighthearted name but has a serious mission to, quote, amplify the voices of people who might otherwise go unheard and broadcast the stories that might otherwise go untold. Unicorn Riot describes itself as a volunteer-operated decentralized media collective comprised of multimedia artists and journalists. Born from the internet in 2015, we operate non-hierarchically, independent of corporate and government funding, end of quote. Members of the collective thrust themselves in the midst of protests and social and political movements and often capture stories right as they unfold. Well, I sat down with Lorenzo Serna with Unicorn Riot at the People Summit in Chicago. Here's our conversation.
I'm here with Lorenzo Serna of Unicorn Riot at the People's Summit in Chicago. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone.
So Unicorn Riot is a name that I connect with the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline. It's not a name that's well known around the country. Describe in your words for our audience what it is. It sounds like it could be, you know, anything from, a cheerleading group to what it really is, which is this cool guerrilla media activist collective.
Yeah, so I mean, we're this horizontally organized 501c3 educational nonprofit. Like, we're a media collective who tries to put themselves sort of at like the front lines of movements and try to provide like a media platform for people who may not have one, so they can at least tell their side of the story before that narrative is kind of taken over by everything else. And so a lot of times you see us in the front lines where we're just kind of putting mics in people's faces because they're the ones that know why they're there, and we want to hear that and want to make sure other people do, because, you know, once that space gets further away, the story changes. So
how did this whole thing start, and where are you headquartered?
And we're like headquartered on the internet. You know, our collective is based.
You're headquartered on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, like our folks are everywhere. Everything we do, of course, is because the internet allows us to connect. And so we have people in like Boston, New York, Denver, and then Minneapolis. And then it started just a group of people who did a lot of sort of like media work around. I mean, like for me personally, I did a lot of media work around movements, around action, like stuff. And I don't know, I just thought there was still, with like when you're within the movement, you're still part of it and you still are kind of adhering to it, you know? And I thought that it'd be better to create a little bit of space to be able to make a, I guess, more journalistic look at what's happening to allow us at least people to see what they're doing in a almost objective way, right? So like a lot of our stuff is, this is my point of view again, like our collective is horizontally organized. Everyone in it like has a different idea, but in the end, our goal is to provide media that's, you know, non-commercial, and this shows people what's happening on the ground as close to what's happening as possible.
So how long has it been in operation?
I think we're almost in our third year. I think 3 years? No, 2 years? I
don't so know. Very new.
Yeah, very new. I personally moved to Minneapolis and helped start it with some folks. Of course, we all met on the internet. Like, not everyone's in Minneapolis. And it's just been running since then. You know, we first started, it was Minneapolis, like they shot Jamar Clark, the police did. People occupied a police station for 18 days. And so like, I moved to Minneapolis and suddenly I'm like covering this 18-day occupation, you know? And so it's just been sprinting since then, really.
Do the people that are involved have professional journalism backgrounds, or are they what we might call citizen journalists?
I mean, that's a different variant of educations. Again, like there's people who have journalistic backgrounds, there's people who have media backgrounds, there's people who have history backgrounds, people who have no journalistic, you know, background. But in the end, everyone sort of is learning from each other and sort of providing what they can to the platform. And so that's why a lot of our media is like, it's varied, because it's just a whole different kind of skill sets that are happening. And so I wouldn't say that everyone has like a set, like went to school, got a journalist degree. But like I went to school, I have a master's in English, I guess, if that matters. But in the end, I think, are we focused on just being able to, who can tell the story, and like how do we get better at that by working together, you know?
So tell me about the various issues you've covered since you've only been around for a couple of years. You mentioned the police killing of Jamar Clark. What are some of the other notable events that Unicorn Riot has covered?
Everything, you know, like, so we're in Minneapolis, like Philando Castile was also killed by the police right now.
Philando Castile.
Yeah, we were at the occupation, you know, they shut down an interstate, we were there. We're at the No Dapple movement, trying to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline folks. We were covering that for months. you know, and Denver is a lot of like homeless kind of issues, houseless issues that we have journalists there on the ground who are constantly putting on content around that, like national sort of houseless, like homeless issues. And so it's like a variety of stuff. And I know like, you know, one of our journalists covered the trial of these people who went and shot at the Jamar Clark folks. And that's like a 10-part series where, you know, if people are interested in sort of the alternative right thread, this shooter has all the sort of the aspects of it. And you can see it in this trial and see where they got influence and all that stuff. So, I mean, this is a right.
You're talking about the fact that when there was a protest around the police killing, there were shots fired into the protest.
And so during the fourth precinct shutdown is what it was called for Jamar Clark that was shot by the Minneapolis police at the fourth precinct. Outside of the fourth precinct, eventually a group of the person who's been charged and convicted is like this. I was a white nationalist racist who came and shot them. I shot five people, I think it was, and ended up in trial and actually got convicted. And you know, our journalists went and covered that trial, and you can check notes every day, and you can see sort of like where the ideology was built for this person to be able to see humans in the way they do, but still not see themselves as racist. And I think that that's a really important narrative that's happening right now, and it's worth study if you're interested in that sort of stuff.
And do you feel that you are filling a vacuum, particularly on those issues, that the mainstream traditional media is just missing and not present on?
Well, I think that usually the main, you know, mainstream or traditional media right now is stuck in this thing where their whole profit model is based on just not being good journalists. You know, it's based on just trying to be reactive and quick and not taking the time to be able to look in.
Things.
Yeah. And so I mean, I apologize for having to say that, but they're not able to put somebody in a position to cover something for an extended period of time because their profit models don't really reflect that, or it's not as profitable anymore, so they don't support that, right? And so our organization is trying to figure out how to like be able to do that for our journalists in a way that's sustainable. And by sustainable, of course, like none of us are ever going to get rich or like a nonprofit, but like be able to pay our rent and be able to occasionally buy like a nice thing and then be able to do this work. And so that's what we're really trying to do, is like, how do we figure out how to stay and keep somebody on the ground for maybe months at a time with just as much the little support as we can get, enough so their life is okay, you know? And I think that that's for us what our mission really is like, how do we create an institution that allows for power sharing within it, that allows for understanding of like misogyny and patriarchy and all that stuff, and like just how do we create that space for ourselves at the very least, and then go out and cover other people who are trying to do similar things, because right now it seems like everything that we step into has already been organized in a way where those things are not considered. And so for us, or at least for me, it's like I care about like the people I work with, their health, their mental health, they're everything. I care of them as a human being. And so like, how do we create an organization that can at least do that for itself, and then kind of like show other people this model that's like, hey, like, I know this is the way the world was built, but like, you don't have to do it that way. Like, let's figure something else out. So
I want to talk to you about the coverage that Unicorn Riot did of the Dakota Access Pipeline protests, the NoDAPL protests. You got some coverage that was exclusive. Nobody else had that. And maybe that came from you, your folks being on the ground continuously and literally embedding yourselves among the tribal activists. Tell me a little bit about how Unicorn Riot approached covering that extremely important battle that took place last year.
So I have a lot of really good, I would say, like teachers who sort of like taught, just shared a lot of information with me, so I want to acknowledge that. And so when that, I mean, we were invited, first of all, like very early on. Even looking at it now, I realize that we were invited like February 27th-ish.
So over a year ago.
Yeah, we were at an event and somebody came up to us and was like, this is going to be happening soon. We'll send you the information when it happens. And we're like, all right. There was an event in Indian country. It was Ogallala territory. And so from there, I guess once it started happening, the only thing we could do, I remember I got back from the RNC, right? We got back from the RNC. It's like just right at the end of July. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to North Dakota soon. Because once this happens, like, we just have to go and stay, you know, we have to go and stay because we don't know what's going to happen. You never know. And you have to, and like, from what, like, the coverage in my mind is like, you stay as close to whatever the front line is, you know? So like, I was sleeping in a van 100 feet away from where everyone was like, had a camp ready to like stop the next day, you know? And so every day I was sleeping as close as possible, and that was it, you know? So that's why we were there, is because we were sleeping on the ground. Like, we weren't in the hotel. We were sleeping in a van or on a tent, right next to everybody else, because when they move, then you hear them move and you move with them. You know, it's really simple. As it was like, you just have to be at the front line. The further you're away, the further you're away. You're not going to hear what's going on. You're going to hear what people are feeling or thinking. You're not going to know any of that. You're going to get there and just arrive at an event that's happening with no insight as to why.
Has new and the sort of digital technology and new media enabled outlets like Unicorn Riot to do so much more than you could do before? How do you use technology? What is your sort of approach to using technology to do this coverage?
I mean, again, speaking for me, like, I believe in, you know, we're a horizontally organized media collective, and that's on purpose, because that means that when we create information, it falls into a network that's flat. So once that information hits that, it goes spreads out throughout it, and it allows every one of our members to be able to use that information in whatever way they'd like, right? And so it adheres to their skill sets. And so our goal is, like, again, what are people good at, and how do we, like, do this in a way that's comfortable for all of us, is what we are organizing model. And then in the end, yes, of course, like, all these social movements, I've had arguments with myself about this for years, you know, like, but yeah, like, without social media, I think at least the speed that things grow would probably not have happened quite as quick, right? It's like, I remember, like, during, I was involved during Occupy Wall Street, and that was, like, a few months, like, a whole movement played out, like, the beginning, the, like, the middle, the collapse, like, everything, like, the message spreading apart, everything happened, like, it always does, but it happened in a few months. And so it's, like, in a way, it seems like people are getting better at, like, organizing quickly because of these things. Because of, like, technology, you know? And when it comes down to it, the person on the ground is able, at least somebody somewhere in the world can reach this person on the ground who's actually actively doing whatever and ask them why. And that's, like, that's powerful in itself as well, you know?
Finally, what does the name Unicorn Riot mean?
You know, we're entering, there's, again, lots of conversations. It was the best name we came up with. You know, it really was the best name we came up with. And, for, again, I'm saying for me, it's hard to, like, you know, I speak for the whole collective, but I mean, the situation is absurd. You know, like, right now we're living in this moment of climate collapse. No one seems to want to take it seriously. Like, every sort of, like, thing that people were trying to stop seems to just be reality. Like, the police are militarized. Like, they're being used on public citizens in the United States. The military is, you know. And so, like, there was a moment where we wanted to have a serious name, so I don't want to take it serious. But in the end, I was like, everything's ridiculous. So what's the point of trying to play into that? Like, let's just be Unicorn Riot, because look around us. The world's just insane, you know?
Where can people find out more about your work, and how can they support it? You said you're a nonprofit.
Yeah, so they can go to unicornriot.ninja. There's, like, support our work, and you can just donate. I mean, we're viewer supported. I think we've gotten one grant one time. You know, so, like, all it is like, whoever gives us something, we use that for the collective. And then, yeah, I mean, if somebody takes time to go to our website, I suggest this all the time, is, like, look at early stuff compared to new stuff, and you see all the everything get better and better, and that's because people donated to the platform. Wow. So.
And also, why are you at the People's Summit? It seems a little too establishment for Unicorn Riot to be at the People's Summit.
I mean, I've asked myself that a few minutes ago walking around. And, you know, what I can say, at least to feel comfortable, is that, you know, I'm interested in gatherings. I'm interested in people coming together. What brings them together? What are I'm interested in finding the people who will tell me why they got up and decided they were going to come here. And I want to know that reason. As for everything happening here, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. The last time I knew about this space was during the NATO summit, and I was outside getting, like, pepper sprayed and watching my friends get beat up by police. And now I'm inside of here. So it's a very weird experience for me. And yeah, it is definitely, like, very established compared to what we usually do. But again, we're not, you know, we're journalists, so we're here to tell the truth of what we see. And to me, like, it's like the People's Summit, like, the most expensive building I've ever seen. You know, like, I don't know how much money, you know, I was talking to people about, like, if it was the People's Summit, you should have given money to the communities to have barbecues and parks. You know, like, that sounds people, but this is what they're saying. So I'm interested in how they convince me that this is the People's Summit. And I guess I'll listen and tell folks what I think.
Thank you for your candor. So unicornriot.ninja is the website. We'll post a link to that from our site later today.
Thanks so much. That's great.
My guest has been Lorenzo Serna. He's a member of Unicorn Riot, which you can find online again at unicornriot.ninja. I spoke with him at the People's Summit in Chicago. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.